how every believer is called into the ministry. Have y'all understood that? Have I laid that foundation pretty clearly? Good. Well, I want to move forward tonight and dig in a little bit deeper. I want to have two more sessions, and the session that I want to do tonight is really to make it real plain for you and to understand how important it is for us as believers to have a heart for the lost and how to practically minister to them. Well, you know, a lot of people get nervous when I say that every believer is called into the ministry because they think, oh my God, now I got to talk to people, I got to do this. Well, I want to make it real practical for you, and the Bible makes it real plain, but I want you to see how important it is that we are born again to bear good fruit, and that's with our life. So I'm gonna jump right into it. So turn on over into your Bible. Y'all got your Bible? Turn on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 17 through 20. I'm gonna read it in the New King James Version. Are you there? No worries if you're not. Just look right up here on the screen. By the way, I do go kind of fast. I know that. Some of you are probably still trying to pull your Bible out your purse or something. No worries. That's why we put the notes online. And I encourage you throughout the week, download my notes or just pull them out on your phone right there. You know, they're on www.destinygso.org, right? And you can see the notes and just go back over some of this stuff because it really will change your life. Amen? All right. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's every believer, say, that's me. You're in Christ, right? He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, some things have become. Yes, all things have become new. Now, some things are of God. All things are of God. Now, watch. This is a perspective that Paul is giving us as believers. He's saying now, because we're born again, our whole perspective of life has changed. Everything in life changes. We look through these new lenses of a born-again believer now. Where before you were born again, if you had gotten a negative doctor's report and they said, hey, you got 6 months to live, that would pretty much be it. That's a wrap. But not as a believer. You get a negative report about health from a believer, and you're a believer, it is not the end. You look through the eyes of the Bible, and the Bible says you will live and not die. But it's important that we understand the principles and the truths. It doesn't just happen automatically. You're not just going to walk automatically into your promised land. There are principles and promises and principles that correspond with those promises to execute the will of God. The Bible says, lay hold of eternal life. We all have eternal life if you're born again, but the Bible says in Timothy to lay hold of it. Lay hold on it. You have to, by faith, lay hold on those promises that are already ours. God makes promises, but it's by faith that we receive them. Are y'all with me? So he's saying how now we have a whole new perspective about life, about challenges, about health, about marriage, about sex, about every aspect of life. Now all things are of God. We do it God's way. Say, I do it God's way. Yeah, because we're believers, right? Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Reconciled is an accounting term that just means brought into oneness, brought back into wholeness with him, brought back into harmony with him. Amen. When God created mankind, man and God were one in the garden until Adam sinned. After Adam sinned, man was separated from God by his sin. Jesus came to reconcile or to reunite us to God, put us back in harmony with God, right? Now all things are of God who has, not going to, has reconciled us to himself. How did he do it? Through Jesus Christ. And look at this, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And again, that's why we said we're all in the ministry. Number one, the ministry to the Lord. That's our first ministry. Every believer is called to it. Secondly, ministry to the body. All of us are called to that. Thirdly, the ministry of reconciliation, ministry to the lost. Amen? That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was in Christ. That's why Jesus came, to reconcile the world to himself. How did he do it? Not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us what? The word of reconciliation. Now watch what this is saying. What that passage is saying is that God has already done everything there is to do to reconcile the world to himself. He's already done his part through Jesus Christ. How did he do that? Not imputing their trespasses to them. Who were our trespasses imputed to? Jesus. God put all of our sin on Jesus, punished him for all of our sin. Are you with me? And through that, paid the price for redemption for every single human being. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him. So he's committed to, God did the reconciliation through Jesus, but has committed to us what? The word of reconciliation. So our responsibility isn't saving people. Our responsibility is telling of the reconciliation that has already occurred. Most people, including believers, don't know that God's not mad at them. God's not mad at them, at the world. He's madly in love with the world. Why? Because he's already paid for the sins of all mankind. The world doesn't know that. They think that God is angry with them. In the same way when Adam and Eve sinned, they hid from God, the world hides from God. The same way. So it is our responsibility to share the word of reconciliation, to tell that God's not mad at you. How do we do that? That's what I want to talk about tonight. Amen? Now then, watch this. We are ambassadors for Christ. We talked about this already. But that means we are, an ambassador is a citizen of a homeland, but residence in a foreign land. All right? So the Bible says we're ambassadors. We're citizens of heaven, of the kingdom of God, but residents of earth. We live by a whole set of guidelines called the kingdom of God, right? But we're ambassadors. We're royalty. We're God's personal representatives. And you need to understand this, that God wants you and I to be the representatives of heaven, the representatives of his grace, of his kindness, of his goodness, of his health, of his forgiveness, of his love, of his abundance. We should be walking, God wants us to be walking billboards of his kindness and his love. The world doesn't know that God is good. They think he's bad. They think that Christians are crazy. So we must, and why? Primarily because God's had a bad PR team. Come on, somebody. His personal representatives, his PR team has not been, has not truly reflected the kindness and the love of God. And so that's why we're going over this, to help you understand that. Amen? We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading how? Through us. God is pleading to the world. Do y'all get this? God is in love with his children, with his creation, like you're in love with your kids. You love your kids. You would give your life for your kids, right? Okay, well, you know. God is so in love with his creation that he gave his son for the world. You get it? Now then, we are pleading through us. We implore you, watch what he says here. We beg you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. And so actually this is a plea to believers. He's saying, telling us, if you read it in the Amplified, he says, walk in the favor that's been provided for you. Walk in the abundance that's been provided for you so you can reconcile others to God, so that others can see his goodness through your life. Say amen right there. All right, so y'all saw that we're ambassadors, we're called to the kingdom of God. And tonight, I really just want to show you how important that is and how to practically do that. Amen. We got cut short on the time I was talking about this. But look over in Matthew chapter 28. Y'all heard of the Great Commission? Matthew chapter 28, in all the Gospels you see after Jesus rose from the dead, the Gospels depicted a little bit differently in each Gospel, but you get this where Jesus, you know, Jesus is born. He enters his earthly ministry at age 30. At 32 and a half, 33 and a half, I believe. He was crucified, went to the cross, buried for 3 days, rose from the dead, walked the earth for 40 days and 40 nights with signs and miracles. And then when he's about to ascend to the right hand of the Father, here's his last word said, recorded in Matthew. He says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Long story there. Go therefore and do what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice it said, make disciples. Teaching them to observe some things. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Notice Jesus didn't say, go make converts. And I believe this is one of the greatest tragedies in Christendom right here, is just because we haven't made people disciples. Disciple is teaching them all things. One who's taught to observe all things that God says. They live by the word and not by the world system. And that is the only way that you will thrive as a believer and be that walking billboard for the kingdom of God. And so when he says, teaching them to observe all things, teaching them to observe the way we do marriage in the kingdom, the way we do life in the kingdom, the way we do healing, the way, God's ways of doing things. I say it and it's so true, but most believers are more discipled by the world and the culture than the word and Christ. They're more taught by the culture. They emulate the culture. The world shacks up and lives together and has premarital sex. So does the church, because they're more discipled by the world. Come on, somebody. It's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Y'all should get excited right there. Let me know you're with me, or I'll keep preaching right on that point right there, you see. Say amen. Okay, now I can move on. The world says it's all right to abort and kill babies. God says, no, it's not. But many Christians will argue that point. Why? Because they're more discipled by the world than the word. They don't know what the word says. They know what the world does, and then develop their opinion based on what the world does and not what God says. That's not a disciple. Come on, somebody. Are y'all offended at that already? More believers are more attuned to their political affiliation than their biblical affiliation. They more identify with their race than redemption. That's a strong saying, but it's true nonetheless. You can offend a believer more about racial issues than you can about biblical issues. So what? Abortion? Killing babies? Who cares? Shacking up? Who cares? What? Did you say I'm not? What? Don't you dare say something about Obama. Now I'm ready to kill you. Come on, you know it. Say it's true. Look, some of y'all mad right now. You about to say something about it? Okay, and I'm going to step off of that because I can tell y'all got tense about that. But my point is, here's why many believers are so tore up from the floor up. Come on, somebody, y'all right? Look, y'all ready to leave right now? Like, oh, no, he didn't. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Not that the world does. Come on, somebody. So this is indicative as to why our divorce rate as believers is the same as the world. Abortion rate, same as the world. Why? Because we do what the world does and not what God says. Are y'all listening to me? It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Did I hit a nerve here? Maybe I'm just going to move on. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Okay, teaching them all to observe all things. I'm with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus said, make them disciples. Make them disciples. Why? Because I'm interested in the well-being of mankind. I love mankind. And if they do it the world's way, come on, somebody, it will end in destruction. Showed you some of that on Sunday. Amen? Turn over in your Bible, the same passage in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Are y'all with me? Say, I'm a disciple. Yes, yes. Same passage, but in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Mark. And he said, Jesus said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Notice in Matthew, he said, go make disciples. Here he says, go preach the gospel. So the gospel is the key piece to making disciples. The good news, all right? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. We got a baptism coming up here soon, don't we? When is it? Do y'all remember when that is? Thank you, Pastor. And in March 29th, she can spell out, she can tell you anything right now. Okay, when is the, sorry, I'm just getting ready to put it on the spot. Watch this. Those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. And these signs will follow the fivefold ministry. Oh, those who believe the gospel, these signs will follow them that believe the gospel. So go teach them the gospel, aka make them disciples. And these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They don't have to just call the pastor to do it. They'll do it themselves. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. Let me stop here. I always got to stop on this one because people are like, what? Y'all seen those documentaries where Christians be down there rolling their eyes back in the back of their head and playing with snakes? They're crazy. Okay, that is not what the Bible is talking about right here. What the Bible is talking about right there is like what happened to Paul in the book of Acts. He was putting together a bonfire to warm himself after a shipwreck, and a snake jumped on him. Y'all remember that? And a snake, a viper, a deadly viper, jumped on him and bit him. And then everybody was running, was like, "Ooh, call back to go!" And everybody's watching, and Paul was like, boom, shook it off in the fire and kept. Who wants a relish on their hot dog? Anybody want some s'mores? He kept going. They was all like waiting for him to fall, and he didn't fall. That's what it's talking about. Look at this next one. He explains a little bit better. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. I had to put this to the test a few weeks ago. My wife isn't going to like me saying this, but I need a few witnesses here in the building. Okay, y'all want me to tell you the story? Okay. Okay. We drink coffee every morning. Every morning we got a coffee maker. I get up every morning and I make the coffee because I wake up early, right? I could do it at night, but I wake up early and I go in there and I take the coffee pot, put water in it. Typically, y'all know how sometimes if there's a little bit left in the coffee thing, it starts staining, right? So we don't have time to put it in the dishwasher every day. So what I'll usually do is after we drink the coffee, put a little water in there. Sinead usually gets the last cup. So she'll put, at night, I'll come and put the water already in it. You could pour it in and set the timer, but I never read the instructions. So the light just flashes. But so I put enough water in it typically and just put it back on the thing. And in the morning when I get up, I'll pour it in there, put the coffee in, right? So that's typically the thing. But one day, a couple weeks ago, Sinead was like, she put some bleach to keep the stain out. And she did mention it to me, but how many of y'all know that I'm a busy man? Very busy man. Come on, somebody. I'm very busy. Somebody say, Pastor's really busy. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Come on. Come on. Y'all ain't saying it enough. Yes, yes. Really, really busy. So I heard her, but I didn't really hear her. I heard her. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So in the next morning when it came time, and there's always usually a little bit in there, like I told you. So guess what I did? I topped it off because you got to put up to the line of five. I want five cups of coffee. Between us all, you got it. So I pull it up, put a little bit of water, just a little bit more, top it off, poured it right into the thing. Drank down my one or two cups. Here comes Sinead. While I'm on the toilet, here comes Sinead an hour or so later, because she gets up a little bit later, and she's drinking her coffee. The first thing she does is, you poured out that bleach that was in the thing, didn't you? I was like, what? No! I drank the cup. I drank the water that was in there. I told you. I don't remember you telling me. You know I'm a busy man. This scripture came to mind right then. And I think I said it immediately, or I might have said a few more things to her in between saying that verse. I can't remember exactly. I was like, oh my goodness. Well, anyway, her and Trey had to go somewhere. I think he was doing auditions or something. And so, I don't even know if Trey heard the conversation, but when he got back, he said, Dad, is everything all right? And I kind of forgot about it because I prayed that and went about my business. And he said, well, because Mom was on the phone with the poison control people. I was like, she what? CDC or something? Are you all right? I said, Trey, listen, just pay attention. If anything happens to me, know your mom did it. Your mom tried to kill me today. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Now we got a few more witnesses today. If y'all hear me? Okay, all right. Drink any deadly thing. And I did. I stood right there. I was like, oh, snap. You mean to tell me that I thought that coffee tasted a little bitter? Okay, where was I? They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These signs follow who? These, y'all see it? So who's laying hands on the sick? The believer does. The believer. Now there are some scripture in James that talk about call the elders, and it is a deathly situation that's talking about, and we'll get to that. And I've taught on that when we talk about healing. But I want you to see here that the believer is the one who does the ministry. Are y'all with me? And so our job is to teach you the gospel so that you can effectively do it. So that these signs do follow. Y'all follow what I'm saying right there? Everybody point your hands towards Shanae right there in case anything. Now, Happy Valentine's Day, boo. Where was I? Turn over to the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Y'all know this one. This is the chapter of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus again, this is the book of Acts. By the way, you know, there's four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of the Acts of the Apostles. It's really the fifth gospel. It is the four gospels show Jesus' birth, his life, and then the book of Acts shows the Holy Spirit in the people after he left. So it's really just an account, a historic account, different from the epistles. It's a historic account of the apostles after they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Look what he says. So, but in the first chapter, it says, but you shall receive dynamis, power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what? And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Why I wanted to show you this is because I want you to see the commitment that God has to us being witnesses. Us making disciples, us being walking billboards. He said, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit so that you can be a witness. Notice it doesn't say go witnessing. Nothing's wrong with that. But our life is to be a witness to his life, to his goodness, his death, burial, and resurrection. Do y'all see that? And that's the first thing that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit that he's going to do is going to be power for you to be a witness. Are y'all listening to me? Say amen right there. Make sure y'all understand me. All right. Turn on over. Well, how do you get someone saved? How does someone get saved? Can I just pray for people far off and they will just get saved? That's a part of it, but the Bible tells us clearly how people get saved. Turn over to your Bible to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Tonight, again, I just want to make this real practical because many people don't know how to be a witness, how to lead someone to the Lord. Are y'all with me? How to just simply lead them? Look what the Bible says. I put it in the NIV because the New King James or King James kind of just makes this not so clear as it is in the Greek and in the NIV and the NASB. But watch what he says here. Paul writing, he says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Sozo. Leave that one up there just for a second. Now, many people think, and I was taught early on, to just get people to say that prayer. And do you believe in Jesus? Yeah. Say this prayer and you're going to be saved. Really what the word believe means, it's the word pistis here. And it means to lean on with confidence, to trust in wholly. It's not just I believe in God. It's I rely on him. I put my life in your hands. I'm leaning on him. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Coupled with a confession as of him as Lord. And that's really what Lord means. Lord means you're my owner. I'm bowing down to you as my owner, as I will follow and do what you say. My life is no longer mine. It's your life now. Amen. That's what being born again really is. So oftentimes, and I've heard many evangelists write this, that like even Billy Graham, he said he would be surprised and happy if only 10%, up to 10% of the people who came down in all his altars were actually saved. Because many people don't understand, but are you with me? And they just follow along like sheep, just do what you say, but haven't really ever leaned on and trusted in Jesus. Amen? And so this is why I want to make this real plain for us to understand what salvation really is and how we get someone saved. Okay, go to the next verse. For it is with your heart, he explains what happens here. For it is with your heart, not your head, that you believe. It's with your heart. In other words, come on, have y'all ever, I love Shanae with my whole heart. I love her. I adore her, even though I said that she tried to poison me a couple weeks ago. I love her. This is my girl. This is my, this is the girl that I trust in. I really love her. You get what I'm saying? We go way back. We're friends. This is my best friend. It's different than I have relationship with anyone else. The other person. Are you with me? And that's what this is. This lordship with Jesus is even a closer relationship with that. Christianity is a relationship, but people have to be taught that. Are you with me? And that's why he said, make them disciples. It's more than just a prayer. The Bible actually says that devils believe and tremble. Devils confessed him as Lord. Remember, you read through the Gospels, we know who you are. You're the Christ. They confessed. They knew who he was. It didn't save them. They just trembled. You with me? So that's not what it is. What it is a total leaning and trusting in him. And that's why people need to be discipled. It's much more than just, I believe in God. Many people think that Christianity is, I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Hare Krishna. I must be a Christian. No, a Christian is someone who trusts in with their life Jesus. They're relying on him for their salvation, for their righteousness, for their provision, all those things. Now again, when someone's a babe in Christ, that's what they are. They're a babe in Christ. So they may not know all the details of all those things, just like your little baby doesn't understand life, but it's still your child and they're born. Right. Are you with me? So we grow into these things of salvation, but that's why the Bible says that we disciple people. So you understand what you've got, who you are, and how this thing works. Are y'all with me? So he says here, for it's with the heart that you believe and are justified or made right with God. With your heart you do that. Amen? And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So we see that there's two parts here. I believe with my heart, but I say something with my mouth. That word saved there, by the way, is more than just going to heaven. It's all of salvation. Salvation, that same word is translated for healed, being healed in certain places. Well, that's how you receive everything from God. Believing it in your heart and confessing it in your mouth. Believing what in your heart? What he said in his word. Amen? Amen. And in Jeremiah, Isaiah, the Bible says he is Lord. And that's what we're doing. We're confessing what God has said about it. We believe it in our heart and we confess it, profess it with our mouth. Amen? Confess, by the way, is the word homologia. Homologia. Two Greek words put together. Homo, same as. Homosexual, same sex. Homos. Logia, same word of God, same word as God. You say the same thing God says. Right. All right, believe it in my heart and say the same thing God says. That's how you get healed, that's how you get set free. But it's truly believing it. Yeah. Amen. And we're going to read it here. Watch this. Verse 11 says, as scripture says, anyone who does what? Believes in him will never be put to shame. This isn't only just regarding salvation, this is regarding everything. If you put your trust in him, anyone who believes in him, leans on him wholeheartedly. Listen, one of the things about God that's so beautiful, even if you're praying for things and you don't get it, don't panic if you really believe in him. Because he's really this loving father that's watching out for you. You know, I talk to people, because I'm a pastor, we see all kinds of situations go on in people's lives. You got it? And we see divorce, we see people do things that are very damaging to their relationships and marriages. We see all this kind of stuff and we're talking with people and counsel them and, you know, and we see hearts broken. We see things that go on like that. And typically we just have to say, listen, don't panic. Don't panic. But I want him to come back. I want him to love me. I want him to love me. They may have done you the greatest favor of your life. Are y'all with me? There's situations here in this church, we marry people all the time, but I heard recently and talked to the person, somebody was planning to get married and they told me last week, they said, the wedding is off. You know, and hey, I said, well, better now than later. Right. You get it? And learn, if you'll learn to trust in God, come on somebody, things that sometimes may be disappointments may be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Somebody who walked out of your life may have done you the biggest favor in your life. So don't panic. Put your trust in God. Come on, somebody. And that's what he's saying. You'll never be ashamed if you do that. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. And what? Richly blesses most. Some. Richly blesses all who call on him. I love this. The verse before talked about believing, and this one talks about calling on him. And so that's the key. Calling on God, calling on Jesus, calling on him as your Lord. I need help, Jesus. I need help. And he says he richly blesses all who call on him. Y'all, this is such a beautiful thing right here. How many of y'all facing some challenges in life? Yeah. Here's the key right here. You're saved. You're his child. Call on him. Call on him. Lord, help. Amen. And stick with him. That's why this thing is about relationship. Y'all, I'm so blessed. And I'll get to that. I'll share some testimony here tonight. But watch this. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be sozoed, saved, healed, set free, delivered. How then, watch this. This is what I want to get to. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they call on him unless they've believed in him? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach? Go to the next one. And how can anyone preach unless they are? I'm sending you now with your life. Are you going? Now watch, this is very important, because everybody has to hear the gospel. People, just praying for them is important, but they need to hear the gospel. Did y'all see what it says? How can they believe in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone telling them about it? Right? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel is actually good news. Why many people aren't saved is because they haven't heard the good news. Oh, they heard some bad news. That may be truth. You're going to hell, you lousy sinner. You're no good. Truth, but not good news. The gospel is always portrayed as good news. And as we preach the gospel, it must be preached in a way that is good news. Come on, somebody. That's one of the keys. The Bible says, Proverbs, I believe, 11:30, but it says, he that wins souls is wise. You notice there's a passage, I don't know if I read it this week, but Jesus, when he was pulling together his disciples, he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Have y'all noticed that you just can't go to the pond and just put a hook out there and say, fish, get on it? You got to trick them. You got to bait it. You can, come on, somebody. You put some food on it. Put something he likes on it. Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, fishers of humanity. In other words, I want to give you some bait that they need to hear, something they like. Good news, the gospel is good news, is glad tidings of good things. And so we as believers should be carriers of that. Our lives should reflect that. Come on, somebody. Have y'all seen some mean believers? Yes. All right, if you're not seeing, okay. We all should be carriers of this good news. All right, let me go on. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Neither will all the Gentiles. All of them won't accept it. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has what? Believed our message. Consequently, faith comes from hearing this message. Faith comes, remember what it takes. We believe, it's the same word, faith. We believe in God, but it comes by hearing his message. Hearing what? Hearing the good news of the gospel. What is the good news? God isn't mad at you. He's already paid for your sins. Our job is to tell them that good news of reconciliation. God's already paid for your sins. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. Yes, you're a sinner, but God has paid the price for your sin. He's not holding your sin against you. Are you with me? Do y'all know that? God's not holding the world's sin against them. People go to hell for one sin and one sin alone. Not accepting Jesus, the one who paid for all their sins. Are you with me? It's not being good that gets you into heaven. It's being a Christian that gets you. Receiving Jesus is what makes you a Christian. Y'all get that? So faith for salvation comes from hearing that message. That's where it comes from. It comes through the gospel of believing the gospel. Y'all with me? And the message is heard through the word about Christ. Amen, amen. Are y'all got that? Now, so the power to save is actually in the gospel. Praying is good, and it's necessary for people. You got loved ones you love. You want to pray for them. But somebody needs to bring them the gospel. Somebody has to share with them the good news about Jesus. That's how you believe. Are y'all with me? I shared in the first service that God is totally committed to this. And we don't have to save people. We just have to share with them with our life and with our words when appropriate. When appropriate. Are y'all with me? Because you can't squeeze anybody into this. when it's appropriate, when the timing is right, when you get, and I'll show you some examples here in the scripture. Let me move further a little bit deeper, and then I think that'll flow a little bit better. But the power to save is in the gospel. Turn over to John chapter 15 and verse 16. I know I'm going fast. John chapter 15, you know this is Jesus at the Last Supper. Look what he says here. This passage sometimes confuses people. You did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Here, Jesus is saying, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And some people take that to mean, it doesn't matter if you pray for people, they're predestined or not. And that's not what that means. It's written about in the Romans chapter 8, that we're predestined. Those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified. And many people think, God has already determined who's going to be saved, and he's determined who's not going to be saved. So either he chooses them or he's not, and they don't feel any obligation to share the truth or to be a witness to people. And that's not the case. God, here, let me show it to you in the scripture, all right? Turn over in your Bible to 2 Peter, or just look up on the screen, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Are y'all learning? All right? Watch this. And now why this is so important, because the job, the gift that you've been given is not just to go on that job for a paycheck. You are there on a secondary assignment, and honestly, a primary purpose that God has for you is to be that kingdom representative there. That's why you're gifted. God needs someone there. God needs someone there where you are, where you work, to represent the kingdom, because there's hurting people there. Watch this. The Lord, here it is. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Which one? Any of them? Salvation, healing. He's not slack concerning any of his promises. As some count slackness, God, why aren't you doing this? It's not me. I'm not the problem. But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every human being coming to repentance and knowing him. Every human being. Many are called, but few just actually take the call. Are you with me? But God loves, for God so loved the, not just the saints, the whole world. God loves the sinner. He loves everyone. God loves everyone. And so each of us have a responsibility to be that example, to be that billboard, to be that witness wherever we are. Are y'all with me? On our job primarily is where we spend most time there. Amen? All right, the Lord is not... Okay, I read that one. Now, let me move on a little bit further. Let me show you this. Jesus said his mission statement in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. This is what Jesus came to do. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man has come to do what? Seek and save that which was lost. Who's lost? The whole world was lost. Jesus came for every single person. That's why he needs every one of us participating in his mission. As a believer, this is our mission too. Come on, not just the pastor's mission, not just the fivefold ministry's mission, but this is the mission of every believer, to seek and save that which is lost. Now, we don't give our life for the lost. Jesus already did that. We tell them what he's already done. Everybody doesn't want to hear it, so we don't push it on anybody. Are y'all with me? He that wins souls is wise. Amen. Go to the next one for me. What do I have next? Next is 1 Timothy. Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, Paul writes to Timothy, and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to do what? To save sinners, and Paul says, of whom I am chief. Now, y'all, I was sharing in the first service how I got saved, and maybe some of you have heard it, but it still makes me cry when I think about it. I'm so grateful to this young man who went home to be with the Lord now, named John Kenny Lynch. John Kenny Lynch, let me tell you all the story, and my mom heard this story for the first time today in the first service. But at age 18, I was my first year, freshman year at The Ohio State University, and I had gotten fired from my job. I worked part-time at this department store. It was like, Walmart wasn't invented yet, but it was a store, like Gold Circle was the name of it in Columbus, Ohio, and it had a little restaurant. It was like a smaller Walmart. You get it? And I was working in there, and I worked in the eat and run. I worked in the restaurant. I was 18, going to college. And I had stolen, I hadn't gotten out of the building with it, a cassette tape. This is back in the days of cassettes. And I had taken this cassette, I wouldn't say, I had taken this cassette and put it back in my coat. You know, I hadn't walked out the door with it. I was still at work. But I went back and put it in my coat, and I was planning to steal it. Oh, y'all act like y'all ain't sinners. Okay. Y'all were never sinners. But anyway, so on my way, getting ready to go out the door, security girl walked up to me. Hey. In fact, I didn't even gotten out the door. She came back there, and I noticed her walking around in the eat and run, looking back. And she, I'm sure, because they got cameras everywhere, you know, I'm just a stupid kid. And security all over the building. Well, she came back in the back, and I'm sure she's looking for what it was that I picked up. She didn't see it, or maybe she did. I didn't see what she did. But anyway, on the way out, before I got out, they, of course, walked me back into the Meet Jesus room, where they let me know that was my last day there, right? And I was being fired. I couldn't believe it. Well, anyway, TJ Maxx, the TJ Maxx that we all know and love now, TJ Maxx was just opening. This was 1979 or 80, I don't remember, but the store was just coming to Columbus, Ohio. And they were, you know, it was just being introduced to the country. And I saw that they were hiring, or somebody told me, I can't remember. But I was like, okay, there's one right over close to our neighborhood. Let me go over there. And I went. And I went in there and filled out an application, and they hired me. And they're setting up the store. So they said, "Do you want to work today?" I said, "Yes, I wanted to work today." So we're in there and we're unloading boxes, and, you know, trucks are unloading stuff, putting it in the room, and we're hanging all the apparel on. Well, now it's break time. Lady tells me to go to break. When I go to break in a small room, a small little break room, vending machines in there, some tables, and a guy is back in the back room, a lot of chairs, and, you know, I think maybe 20 people probably could sit back there. But anyway, I sit down, and I notice this guy on this side of the table reading his Bible, eating his lunch, and I'm just back there too, you know. And it kind of got my attention. I'm like, oh, wow, interesting. I've never seen anybody just read their Bible out in public. That isn't like a old lady or something. You know what I'm saying? And this is a young dude, young teenage kid, just like me. And he's sitting there reading his Bible, and I'm noticing him. And he says, "Hey, man," he said, "you ever heard of the parables? The parable," and it might have been a specific parable, I don't remember exactly. But he said, I said, "No, what is that?" He said, "Here, come over here, I'll show you." I was like, oh, cool. Grab my lunch, and I sat over there, and he started reading to me. Immediately, my heart was struck. Immediately. And he said, "Do you understand what that means?" I said, "Yeah, man, I've never heard that. That makes so much sense." And he said, "You want to hear more of that?" I go, "Yeah, I really do." And now keep in mind, this is my first year at Ohio State. Something had happened that week where my book bag had gotten stolen or lost. It was just like this horribly bad. I'd gotten fired from my job. Come on, somebody. It was a bad week. I'm 18 years old. I'm sitting back here, and this kid's reading his Bible and asked me to look at it with him. I look at it with him. He says, "You want to hear more of this?" He said, "Meet me after work, and we'll sit and we'll talk about some more of this." I said, "Cool. Yeah, I'll meet you after work. I ain't nothing to do." So I went with him. He said, "Why don't you come on over to my house and meet my brothers and all this stuff?" And I said, "Yeah, cool. I'll follow you." And he lived right there by TJ Maxx. Went over there, and while he's showing me this stuff in the Bible, he says, "You ever accepted Jesus?" I said, "I don't think so, man. I really want it." He says, "You want to accept it?" I said, he prayed with me right then. Y'all, my life has never been the same since that day. Now watch this. Several years later, we ended up being roommates, and he had a constant struggle, my friend. He had a constant struggle with drugs. Constant struggle. I mean, it was, I can talk about it with compassion and empathy now, but back then it was not fun because I would wake up sometime. Come on, we're roommates. You get it? In an apartment, working these part-time jobs. I was going to school full-time. And so I'd wake up some mornings, and out in the sitting area is a whole bunch of homies. All on my couch, all over. Go to the cupboard to get my, come on, Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries, and it's, "What happened to Crunch? What happened to my Captain Crunch?" Oh, my fault. And then one of the homies real. "Oh, my fault, dog. Was that yours?" You get what I'm saying? And so, and my mom was at the first service, and she remembers me telling her all this because I'm like, "Mom, I got to get out of there." And then some of the homies ended up just staying there. I'm paying the rent. Kenny's paying the other half, and there's people living here. that ain't on the lease. So I went and told the lease people and all that kind of stuff. And finally, what it ended up being was, Lisa, I got to move. I got to go back home. And I went back home and I'm like, Mom, I got to buy a house. I can't do this anymore. I can't do any more roommate. And my mother was testifying to all that. But anyway, Kenny, who won me to the Lord, could never, he was always had a circle of friends that were just bad influence. Now, he was always trying to influence them, but the drug and the addiction, he just never could get away from it completely. So he would have years of freedom, but then he would fall off. And so I get this call, and I've told some of you about it. And it's been how many years, baby? I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. But I get a call on my way home from church on a Wednesday night. I get a call from his sister, Bunny. And Bunny calls, and she says, and left a message, because I didn't recognize it, the number. You know, I didn't have her on my phone, but I checked it, and she was like, Lee, this is Bunny. I don't know if you remember me. She says, hey, my brother, Kenny, is in the hospital, and the doctors are saying he's not going to live. He wants to talk to you. I was like, what? And she left his number. I called the number, but he's in the hospital. And actually, he was in a coma. He never answered his phone. Well, and he ended up dying, right? He ended up dying. He had, you know, just drug abuse. Yeah, and it just eventually wore out his body, just liver. Everything was just messed up. Young guy. I don't think, maybe Kenny was 50 back then. I'm 58 now. So it was maybe 50, early 50s. But anyway, he had died. He had, and his sister ended up, I called her back. I said, I couldn't get a hold of him. She said, no, Lee, he passed. But here's what he wanted. He wanted you to do his funeral. I was like, oh, wow. And I said, okay. So anyway, we go. Shanae and I go there, Columbus, Ohio. And he had married this girl. His marriage had fallen apart. His kids didn't like him. Everybody, you know, because the drug was big. And you get what I'm saying? He had messed up some people's lives. Kids mad. He had married, watch this. This guy was so on fire. When he was on fire, he had married this guy, this Bishop Latta. Was this bishop, probably still is in Columbus, Ohio. Big church in Columbus, Ohio. Big happening church, you know, apostolic kind of church. But Bishop Latta is really well known in Columbus, Ohio. His daughter is who Kenny married. Had kids with her. And of course, you know, when he'd go off on the drug, then it ended up ruining his marriage. Kids, everybody couldn't stand Kenny at the end. He wanted me to do his funeral because I was the only one who really knew him and what he did for me. I'm here today. You're sitting in this room today because that young boy opened his Bible. Even though he had struggles, even though he had difficulties. Y'all see what I'm saying? And my point here is that God wants to use us. God will use us. It doesn't matter. He had the boldness, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that that boy had the nerve to say, hey, you want to hear about this? No pressure, and I did. My life was at a point where I needed help. And see, that's what many of us don't get, that God wants to use us to help. Now watch, all the people that have gotten saved through my ministry, and of course, when I got there, I knew Bishop Latta, and I knew his wife. You know, I knew all of them. I knew them from living back then. Not well, but I just knew them from afar. But anyway, when I came there, of course, I was able to give a whole different perspective on how he impacted my life and how he's impacted Greensboro, North Carolina, by just sharing the word with me. He, of course, they're in a denomination that thinks he wasn't saved. But I told him he is saved. He's in heaven. He's enjoying heaven. I don't think they like that part, but it's true. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Now, to me, I thank God. I am blessed today because of what that young man did just by opening his Bible and having the boldness to talk to someone about it. I challenge you. And he was real. Y'all get what I'm saying? He wasn't a fake. He just had a struggle that he didn't go to the right kind of church to help him understand how to overcome those things. And that's why we're trying to disciple you, because all of us have struggles. You get what I'm saying? And we don't point fingers at anybody. But he had a real struggle in life, and nobody could tell him how to get out of it. Because I know him. He didn't want to do that. In fact, he was an IT guy. Wasn't he, babe? He was an IT guy. He'd go over to her mom. He did what? Built robots. He worked for like big companies. Real smart guy. But when he'd fall off, get around the wrong person, boom, and he'd take a hard fall. You get what I'm saying? And it was just the drug was bigger. And let me just say this, that our flesh in and of itself is no match for sin. It's no match. Your will in and of itself is no match against the power of sin and darkness. It is not. It is not. You can't fight. You must fight it with the Holy Spirit and knowing who you are. Amen. That's what it takes to overcome those types of things. Amen. So all that to say this. Let me move on. I'm going to get these last couple of scriptures. Turn over in your Bible to Acts chapter 8. Good God. I wouldn't think about that. I wouldn't be here. You would be somewhere else tonight. By one man just saying, come here and look. You impact someone's life. And just like Paul said, I watered Apollos. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You don't have to get a home run. Just show some light. Just share. You get what I'm saying? You do your part. Smile. Maybe it's just, hey, just being kind to somebody. Tell them the guy's not mad at you. Whatever. Man, I used to pray. When I got saved, now I was overly saved. Don't get me wrong. You get what I'm saying? Not overly saved. I'm just saying I was extremely zealous. You get what I'm saying? I was extremely zealous. I was so excited to be saved. I'm still so excited to be saved. I'm still so excited to be blessed. I'm still amazed at my life today. Still amazed as I look over this room and I look at these buildings and I pull up in my driveway. I'm still going, wow, God, thank you for Kenny. Thank you for Kenny for having boldness. Amen. Watch this. Watch this. I'm in Acts chapter 8. Let me show you how important it is for us to share the gospel. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. He arose. When you're hungry, it looks like that says dessert, like right now. Okay, this is dessert. Praise the Lord. And so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. All right. Y'all get this? Philip's a Jew, but here's an Ethiopian. What does that tell you about him? He's a black man. Come on, somebody. A eunuch of great authority. All this is important, but watch this, because he wasn't afraid to go and do what God said, even though it wasn't somebody who was like him. Amen. A man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, this dude did, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Watch this. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? He's wanting to know, but he needs some guidance. You are important for this whole process. Watch this. He says, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip, come up and sit with him, right? The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Who is the Bible talking about? Do you all get the timing? This guy's sitting here reading Isaiah about Jesus, and Jesus speaks to Philip and says, go up right now and talk to him. Watch this. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and asked, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Who is this talking about? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Come on, somebody. If you remember the rest of the story, I didn't want to go through it all. But the man said, hey, I want to get saved. I want to be baptized. And Philip did it that day. And then Philip was translated and moved somewhere else. God had him in that place for that time. What I want you to see is that the people that are around you that may be getting on your nerves. Come on, somebody. God may have placed you there in that place to be a light in a dark place. Come on, somebody. Go to my last scripture right here, and then we're going to get some chicken. Turn over to Acts chapter 9. This is Paul. Now watch this, y'all. Y'all there? Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple. Say disciple. Now, this is the key here, y'all. We have to be disciples in order to have this kind of boldness and to understand our true mission in life. Are y'all with me? Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias, that's you, coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. This is not an apostle. This is not somebody in the fivefold ministry. This is a disciple, a believer who's taught in the word. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. Lord, this dude's a terrorist. This is like, give me a terrorist name. Bin Laden. This is like the current day Bin Laden, killing Christians. He's like, it would be foolish for me to go and talk to him. He ain't gonna want nothing to do with the Lord. Watch the point here. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. Anybody who calls on you, this guy is killing him. Not a good idea, Lord. But watch this. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul. This is like, come on, this is like Bin Laden. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. I think that's the last verse. Do y'all see this? I want you to see this, because this is a regular guy who witnessed to Paul, who ministered and apostled, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. Who preached the gospel in the whole? He flipped the whole world upside down with the gospel. He never met Jesus except for on that road to Damascus. Jesus had already risen from the dead and ascended. When all that had happened, Paul was one of the ones who killed Stephen, one of the apostles, one of the original. Are y'all with me? He's a regular guy who witnessed to Paul. John had no idea that I'd be pastoring a church and would be on television and been leading thousands of people to the Lord. He had no idea. He was just doing his part. Come on, close your Bible. Do y'all see the role that we play? Where you are, you don't know what somebody's going through. And this is why it's so important to have this real relationship with the Holy Spirit. Before you leave the house, just commune with the Holy Spirit. And this isn't deep and spooky. I didn't even get to all that. Because one of the worst things that we as believers can do is be deep and weird. Come on, somebody, where we repel sinners. I don't mean go and sin with them, but I just mean be a light in a dark place. Amen. How many of y'all get that word tonight? Amen. Say, I'm important to the process. Amen. Get your seed. How many tithers and givers in this place? Come on, somebody. Aren't y'all glad for a church like this? Did y'all learn tonight? Isn't that important for us to learn? Everywhere we go, we're witnesses. We're witnesses. The world is watching. Amen. And God is watching. He wants us to be a light in that dark place. Get your seed. Get your tithe. Ooh, it's Valentine's Day, y'all. Look, there's February 12th. Huh? Yeah, treat your loved ones. Yes. Bob and them's going out. Bob said they got a hotel and everything. Oh, snap. She's not here. She left already. Guess what else? No. Get your seed, get your tithe. Take your loved one out. If you don't have anybody, take yourself out. Come on, somebody. Do it for real. Come on, somebody. Amen. Y'all got your seed? You got your time? Y'all know that person sitting next to you? Say, it's good to sit next to you. It really is. Amen. Let's make this faith confession real loud and real strong. Tell them, we need you. We need you ministering to the Lord. We need you ministering to the body. We need you ministering to the lost. That's our call. Say this faith confession real loud and strong. Ready? Say it. That I've. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Because you. Come on. all of my needs. And the Heavenly Father, that the pouring out of blessings. Satan cannot. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on.
Because of the. Come on. I am. And the. Come on. Somebody give God a big old shout of praise. Usher, so the people stand on your feet. We're about to go home, y'all. Hey, y'all, next week I want to show you. I didn't get through all this, but I think that's enough. Y'all get the point there. I want to show you how to minister to the sick. Healing is ours. It's a right. It's children's bread. And we have to know how to walk in healing and how to administer healing. How Jesus won many people was just by praying for them. I used to work at UPS. In college, I worked at UPS, great job. And I was an unloader. I started out as an unloader, but every person that would ever come into my truck with me in my trailer unloading, and I would be looking for them to say, oh man, how you doing? I'm sick, I got this headache. And one dude did. One dude, I think his name was Virgil, came into my trailer and he said, man, I said, how you doing, man, Virgil? And I'm working real hard and everything and always just smiling, just having a great attitude. And he said, man, I got this migraine headache. I think I might need to go home. I said, man, let me pray for you. He's like, what? I said, can I pray for you? I didn't lay hands. You're supposed to keep working. Yeah. Nothing weird. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind that. And I prayed for him. After he came over to help me in my truck. You get what I'm saying? After he finished his truck, he came into mine. After he left, I ran into him later in another truck. He said, do you know what? He said, dude, my head doesn't hurt anymore. I mean, instantly he was just, and that's all I felt to do. I didn't try to lead him to the Lord. None like that. I didn't feel led to do that, but just pray for him. Are y'all with me? We are the light of the world. Amen. Amen. Is that everything? Hey, if you're here tonight, by the way, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, anybody here for the first time, you ain't never been here before? Amen. God bless. What's up, girl? Don't be acting like you can't see nobody. I'll see you. Amen. Well, if you're here for the first time, we love you. We're so glad that you came out tonight. I want to encourage you to come back and be with us. Be with us on Sunday. It's going to be a great time. How many of y'all were here Sunday? Wasn't that a great, great lesson? Oh, y'all, you got to understand this, what I'm going to show you this last part this Sunday about possessing your promised land, how to possess your promised land. It is so paramount for your business, for whatever it is that God has for you. I'm going to show you the key to it tomorrow. It's right there in Numbers. It's a beautiful thing. Amen? Amen. Say this prayer, by the way. If you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never received him, you read it already tonight, it's believing in Jesus. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And the Bible says if you believe that God raised Christ from the dead, you believe that in your heart and you confess with your mouth, he is your Lord, trusting in him. Say this simple prayer. You'll be forever saved. Say this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead just for me. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my healer. I rely on you. I trust in you. You're my Savior. Said that simple prayer from your heart, really meaning it and believing it. You're born again, forever saved. Come back and be with us on Sunday. Bring somebody with you. I declare you blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name.